Well, those that are staying here, turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And we finished last week, verse 10. So we start reading at verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face, at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, Were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you today that we have this opportunity. I thank you for the opportunity to open your Bible one more time and preach this word, teach this word. I pray that you'd give me a freedom and ease to do so that only you can give. I pray you'd bless all the Sunday school teachers and all the students and all the classes. God, have your way in each of our lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about servants and how a servant is to react and how he's supposed to respond to his leader, his boss, or his lord. And it referred to us how we, many times, when we've done all sorts of things, we've given our money, we've attended church, we've witnessed to some people, we've worked and helped some things, we've prayed or whatever. When it comes down to the end, sometimes we think that maybe God ought to be thankful to us and we ought to be really praised and whatever. And yet he said when the servant comes out of the field, he goes ahead and serves first. And he said, when you've done everything that you're supposed to do, consider yourself an unprofitable servant. And that's sometimes a little hard on us, but you remember God hates pride. And many times we get lifted up in pride over things we've done or things we haven't done. And we despise others, we look down upon others that haven't done what we've done. And yet when God looks down at us, we might be in the worst shape like the 2 men that went into the temple to pray. And the one said, Lord, I'm thankful I'm not like this other fellow, I don't do this, I don't do that. And or even like this tax collector over here. I'm not like him, I'm thankful. And the tax collector said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God said, that old publican, tax collector, went to his house justified. And that righteous Pharisee who tithed and fasted and did all sorts of things and wasn't like so many people, he went down to his house with his sins still on him. You've got to watch yourself. So we need to understand our position in doing things for the Lord. When you've done everything that you were supposed to do, you're still just an unprofitable servant. And you live by grace. Now he comes down, it says in verse 11, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. He's coming down, and these are areas, different areas, political areas, different people living in them. Samaria, of course, was half-breed Jews, and all Jews thought of themselves tremendously superior to a Samaritan. A Samaritan was half Assyrian and half Jew. And, of course, Jews go very strongly on their lineage and very, very careful about their background and their bloodlines and whatever. You know, we get pretty proud about our place, don't we? Texans are known to be proud of Texas. All the rest of the United States knows that Texans are going to brag on Texas. Well, that's the way the world thinks about Americans. Americans walk into a place and say, we can do that. We can do that. What's the problem with that? We can do that. And so we have sort of an ugly picture of us around the world. They think we're so proud, so cocky, and we can do it. And so we are proud and we are cocky, yet people don't like that. The world really hates America. They really do. And maybe one reason is we're so rich and we've been so successful and had so many blessings in so many ways. But I'm sure that God is not pleased with our pride. Whether it's for the Spurs or the Dallas Cowboys or for Burbank or Southwest or Churchill or Clark or wherever it is you go and you think, we're the best. And boy, these coaches here, boy, they put that into your pride in your team and pride in your school and whatever. And we're all that way. I get to think about how many ways we're proud. Get a guy that's got him a new screen on his television. He's going to tell you all about it. He's proud he's got a 19-inch screen and you only have a 12. He's proud he's got color and you've only got dull green. People brag on their fences. People brag on their gates. People brag on their cars. People brag on their kids. Oh, that's a big one. Out of the years I taught public school, it was amazing to me how the mothers of some of the worst kids would come up there and say, my son would never do that. Well, I saw your son do it, lady. I had one lady one time, oh, she was upset at me because I told her she had the worst kid I taught all year long. She thought he was the best. And all the other kids were causing all the problems. I said, I've moved your boy about 15 times this year, try to get him away from problems. Everywhere he goes, he causes problems. She did not like it because she's proud of her kid. I had a man one time that I knew and had to deal with. And he had a boy that the neighbors around called the police on every week. Police been out that house probably 50 times in a year. But when I talked to him, it wasn't his boy's fault. It's amazing the pride that we have sometimes. Have you ever thought about it? How proud we can get about our family, our name, our country, our city, our school, our team. Go to some of these, I don't know what you call them, peewee now or leagues or pony leagues or whatever, but these leagues were the young kids. The parents will nearly get into a fight over a call out in a baseball game that doesn't mean a thing. It's nothing but pride. Nothing but pride. Well, the Jews very definitely had a tremendous amount of pride, and they thought of themselves very much better than a Samaritan. And you notice the story of the Good Samaritan? Two Jews passed the guy by, and a Samaritan helped him out. What do you think Jesus is doing with stories like that? He might be trying to knock at your pride that you would humble yourself a little bit and not look down on everybody around you so much just because they don't do things like you do. Well, let's go back to this story. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Leprosy was considered incurable and only could be healed by God in the days of the Bible. It was virtually a death sentence. If a man was a leper, then he had to leave the city, had to leave his family. When he approached somebody on the road, he had to cover his lips and say, unclean, unclean, and get out of the way. He couldn't enter into any walled city. He couldn't come to the temple to pray. He couldn't come in there to offer a sacrifice. If you got leprosy, buddy, your life changed, and it changed terribly. Now, who would lepers hang out with but other lepers? Because leprosy is catching. It can be caught, I guess. At least that's what they thought. You stayed away from it. You didn't want to touch anything. The Bible admonition in the Old Testament about leprosy is that you touch anything like that, you're unclean. You got to go wash your hands. You got to stay so long, whatever, away from it. Here's 10 men. This is a colony of beggars. 10 men. All of them are lepers. Now that's 10 different families. Probably these guys didn't come from the same family or the same village. The only thing that drew them together was their leprosy and the punishment and the separation that the leprosy brought to them. And they're wandering along just like hobos will do and bums will do. They'll make friends of their own. And these 10 men are lepers and they see Jesus coming. Now, whether it was in Galilee or Samaria, but I don't know where it was, but most of them weren't Samaritans. At any rate, he said they met 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Hey, some of you are pretty quiet. These guys were not quiet. They lifted up their voice. They had heard about Jesus. Maybe these 10 lepers decided, let's go find Jesus. Where is he? Where is he coming from? Where was he last time? And they got together. Whatever. When they saw the Lord Jesus Christ, they lifted up their voice. They didn't quietly go in and just whisper a little bit. No, they said, Jesus! Hey! Look at me! Have mercy! Here's 10 men over there. Walking dead men. I mean, wives, children, parents, brothers and sisters, back somewhere. On all of them. They couldn't go back and visit them. They couldn't go have a family dinner with them. They couldn't go back and have fellowship with them. 10 lepers, and they meet Jesus. And what do they say? Have mercy upon me. Now, they prayed the right prayer. Remember, we were just studying just a while back, this old boy in hell, this old good Jew that went to hell. He prayed the right prayer one day too late. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. It's a good prayer. Remember, you look over another chapter in the future and we get this publican saying, have mercy upon me, a sinner. It's the right kind of prayer. And they came to the Lord Jesus and they didn't say, it wasn't right this happened to me. And it is just not fair that I've had to lose everything that I had in life. Do you know people lose? Every day people lose. Everybody doesn't have a real successful life. Everybody doesn't have a real healthy life. Everybody doesn't have a lovely circumstance to grow up in. If you had one, praise God for it. Thank God for what you've had. It really gets me sometimes when I see people who have everything in the world moaning and groaning and griping and murmuring and complaining, and they got everything in the world to be thankful for. I mean, if you're on welfare in America, you're better off than most people that ever lived. And we ought to get our mind there. Maybe you don't have everything you want. Well, who does? Talk to these superstars where they're multiplied $1 million. Why, the poor guys get all upset because they can't get something else. Look at King Ahab. He's got vineyards, but he wanted the vineyard right next to it because he had to drive a little too far to get to his vineyard. It's amazing what we are. Whatever we have, we want more. We ought to have a better attitude than that. Well, here are 10 guys that really had it hard. Most of us haven't had it hard. Here are 10 guys that really had it hard. They were lepers. I don't know how long they were. Probably some of them for years and some of them maybe for months. But whatever, there's 10 men that are lepers. And they meet Jesus. Maybe because they went out looking for Jesus. I don't know. That'd be a pretty good idea if I were a leper. Listening to the stories I've heard of what Jesus could do, I think I'd go looking for Jesus. Yeah. And they cried, lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. I want you to think something about this. He didn't say, I'll cleanse you. He didn't say, I'll heal you. He didn't say, I'll have mercy on you. You notice what he said? He said, go show yourself to the priests. Now, I want you to know something else. That Samaritan could not get in to see a priest. I just think it's interesting as all get out. He turns to go to the priest just like all the rest of them. 10 men, and they head out to head for the temple to go see the priest. And as they go, all 10 are cleansed. Jesus didn't promise them a thing. He said, obey me, just do this, go show yourself to the priest. Well, they turned around, they said, okay, they were obedient in their hearts, they turned around, they headed out, and all 10 of them walking along said, I'm not a leper anymore, look at me. Wow! Isn't that something? 10 tremendous miracles take place. All at the simple obedience to a command. He didn't say, I'll have mercy on you. He didn't say, I'll save you. He didn't say, if you do this or do that. He just said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Now these guys, most of them when they were cleansed, they looked down and said, wow, look at me. Look at you. Boy, I'm heading home. Whew, boy, they took off. Wouldn't you? Yeah. I haven't seen my wife in a long time. I haven't seen my kids in a long time. I haven't seen my daddy in a long time. I haven't seen my mother in a long time. I got some old friends. Wow, man, I am cleansed. Praise God. I don't know how many of them went to the priest. I'm going to trust that 9 of them went on to the priest. Did what he told them to do. But one of them, and by the way, he couldn't have got into the temple anyway. One of them said, I'm cleansed. And he turned back with a loud voice. He wasn't quiet about this either. You ever see somebody really get happy? We see it in ads on TV all the time. They jump up and down and they jump, scream and holler. That's what he did. With a loud voice, I'm cleansed. Praise God, I'm cleansed. Praise God, I've been saved. Praise God. And he came back giving him thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Are you saved today? Amen. Have your sins been forgiven you today? Are you on the road to heaven because of what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary? Every day you ought up with a loud voice say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've been cleansed. I've been healed. I've been cleansed. Praise God. What a wonderful thing. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. You know, I've been living for God and preaching the gospel a long time. I've met an awful lot of people. I've seen a lot of different reactions in my life. I wonder what percentage of the born again really thank God, live a life of glory to God or praise to God or thanksgiving to God. I wonder how many of them, even at the moment, in the months just right after their salvation, really are thankful. I wonder if it's the same percentage. Is this a percentage? 10%? If we would go by church attendance, that's about right. Probably about 10% of the people in San Antonio who call themselves born-again Christians are in a church regularly today, giving thanks to God. Isn't that a shame? Ought to be a shame. Now, I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know. I can't judge a man's soul. But walk out here and knock on these doors and talk to people about Jesus Christ and say, are you saved? Oh, yeah, I'm saved. Well, when did you get saved? Well, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 5 years ago, I got saved. What church you go to? Oh, I don't have a church right now. Some preacher hurt my feelings, or somebody got to sing and I didn't get to sing. Somebody played the piano and I didn't get to play the piano. And they didn't like me as a Sunday school teacher, or Whatever. I'm too busy. Have you ever thought about what you're busy with? Have you ever thought about what you're busy with when God has His will for you? And what you're busy with? You're busy with mowing the lawn. You're busy with cleaning dishes. You're busy with washing diapers. You're busy with trying to make a little more money to buy another toy. We're not 10 cleansed. Where are the 9? Well, I think we can say the same thing about salvation. We're not 10 saved. Where are the 10? Where are the 9? Where are the 8? Where are these people that I've saved? Where are these people that I've given my life for? Where are these people I died in their place? According to the testimonies of an awful lot of people, there's just a lot of people out there that are saved. They've trusted Christ, but they don't live for Jesus. I hope that wouldn't be any one of you. You've been saved, but you never learned to give. That'd be something, wouldn't it? You got saved because somebody preached the gospel to you, but you don't support preachers of the gospel. I think if I got saved because somebody got the gospel to me, I think I'd support preachers of the gospel. You'd think that'd be a thing to do. You'd think if you got saved reading the gospel tract, you'd pass out tracts. Wouldn't you? You'd think if you got saved reading the Bible, you'd give some people some Bibles. Make sure people got some Bibles. Wouldn't that be a sort of a thankful way to do something like that? Where are the 9? I don't want to be unthankful. I hope when I walk up before the judgment seat of Christ someday, He doesn't say to you, Lyndall Kincaid, you were an unthankful believer. You never gave thanks. Spent all your money on yourself. Spent all your time on yourself. School was more important to you. Ball games were more important to you. Sports on Sunday more important to you. Seeing the basketball game on TV was more important than prayer meeting. We're not 10 cleansed. Where are the 9? Interesting statement. He said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now his faith made him whole. I wonder if there might be a little more in that. You know, you can get healed of your leprosy and not be whole in your whole soul. Maybe the faith of this man not only got him healed from his leprosy, but when he turned around and gave glory to God and thanksgiving to God, he got a wholeness within him. He was made whole. Not only a clean body, but a good mind and a good heart and a good spirit. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I want to say again, I've said this many times in my ministry in the past. You that have heard me for years have heard me say it before. I'll be saying it again if I don't die soon. Every blessing you get comes by faith. Amen. It doesn't come because you don't smoke, drink, cuss, or whatever. It comes by faith. Now, it's right not to smoke, drink, and cuss and whatever. But my friend, Your great blessings don't come because you're such a great servant. We just learned about service just a few verses back. And after we've done everything we're supposed to do you even do everything you're supposed to do? I don't know anybody. I've studied this Bible a whole lot, and most of you can't say this, but I don't really need to learn more. I need to do what I know. My problem is if I learn more, just be more I need to do that I don't do. When I take a look at this thing and I look at what I've got, listen, I've got enough gospel to save the whole world. I've got enough Bible to tell every family in the world how to make a good marriage and have a happy marriage.
Amen.
I've got enough Bible in me to tell you how to preach a gospel, start a church, start a mission field. I've got enough Bible in me to do a whole lots of things. In fact, I know so much, and I know so much I don't do. Well, you're not going to be better off just because you're ignorant. You say, well, I'm afraid to study the Bible, then I'll learn some things I haven't done. I'm sorry, but ignorance is no excuse. Just because you don't know it doesn't mean you're not going to answer for it. My, what a story. 10 walking dead men turn at the voice of Jesus and head towards the priest, and they're cleansed on the way immediately. 10 lepers cleansed. 10 guys are going to go back to their families clean and whole. Begin their life all over again. 10 guys are going to get a new start. 10 wonderful conversions, bless your heart. And this guy turns around and said, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And Jesus points it out. And he was a Samaritan. You better watch your pride. Pride in churches too. Well, I'm of this. Well, I'm of that. Well, we got the best church. Well, I really think we do. If you got a better one across the street, invite me. I'll go with you. I really think we do have something good. But that does not mean that we ought to get pride in ourselves about what we have. Maybe we're missing a whole lot of things that God's interested in. I doubt if anybody in here lives up to half of what they know to do. That's a shame. But it's the experience of life. And looking around, I see that percentage, 10%. 10% give glory to God, maybe? I'm not sure Jesus has given us a percentage, but that's the percentage that he gave us, 10%. 10% are so thankful for their salvation, so thankful for their healing, so thankful for the blessings upon their life that with a loud voice they glorify God. And 90% just go right on their way. Just go right on their way. I want to be in the 10%. I want to be one that opens his mouth and says, thank you, Lord. I may not live as every way I ought to live, but I at least want to have my mind straight and right that I ought to be thankful to God Almighty. I ought to be thankful for the healing. I ought to be thankful that I was a walking dead man and God turned me around and gave me a family. And I ought to get up every day. I ought to get up thanking God. You got some problems in your life? No doubt there's some real serious problems in this room right here. Very serious problem. And yet I would say, nothing compares to the healing Jesus has already given you. Nothing. So your life's going to get cut short down here. You don't make the 70 odd years, but you're already saved and you're going to make an eternity. You're going to be like God, with God forever. You're going to have a body like Jesus Christ, a 33-year-old male in perfection. Ooh, man, I love teaching Revelation. It goes 2 or 3 times in there. Old John, who knows God, falls down on his face, and the messenger there has to say, stand up, I'm just one of your brethren that's gone on. He looked so much like Jesus, John couldn't tell the difference. Now, don't that thrill you? That thrills me. That's where I'm going to look. Yeah. Surprise you. I bet I'll have hair, white hair. 33 and a half years old. Glory to God. Wow, that's perfection, boy. You 20-year-olds think you got perfection. Nah, you ain't got it yet. You 40 years old, you're over the hill. Way over the hill. Some of us have got 1 foot in the grave, the other on a banana peel. Look at verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. The kingdom of God is the reign of Christ in the hearts of his believers. And the kingdom of God does not come with observation. You can look out and see all these people in the church and we say, oh, that's the kingdom of God. Well, it's the kingdom of heaven in one sense, but the visible church is not necessarily the kingdom of God. The born again are the kingdom of God. And they said, when's the kingdom of God going to come? And of course, what they're talking about They're talking about when is Christ going to come back and reign and set Jerusalem to be the head of the nations, the capital of the world, and when are the Jews going to be the top nation of the world? When are you going to deliver us from Rome and all of this? This is what they're thinking, and this is what they're asking. When should this kingdom of God come? Well, he throws a curve at them again. He said, when should the kingdom of God come? He said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Well, king in Jerusalem, king of the world in Jerusalem, will be that the kingdom of God will be on this earth. And Christ will be reigning, and it will be a reign of righteousness. It will be visible then. You'll be able to see it. But today you can't see it. In all this Christendom out here, the kingdom of God is within it. But all of Christendom is not it. There's a whole lot of false. There's a whole lot of show. There's a whole lot of garbage in all this Christendom, this Christianity. And within that are the born again, the real church. So when Christ comes into your heart, you become a part of the kingdom of God. You may be a part of the church and not be a part of the kingdom of God. How do you get to become a part of the kingdom of God? You repent of your sins, you ask Christ to come into your heart, you get saved. If you're the very least of the saved people in this room today, you're a part of the kingdom of God. If Christ lives in your heart, he's king wherever he is. Is the king just king when he's on the throne? Is the king just king when they have a big wedding ceremony for him? Is the king just king when he's coronated? No. The king is king wherever he is. So it's like this old Irish family. Somebody got the head seat at the table. They were making a little fun of the old man, the patriarch of the household, but he wasn't sitting in the right chair. He said, where McGregor sits, there is the head of the table. Daddy may not always be right, but Daddy's always Daddy. There's some things, see, Daddy's still Daddy. I don't care if he's in the bedroom or if he's out in the garage or if he's out mowing the lawn. He's still Daddy. And the king is still king no matter where he is. Even in the heart of an unthankful believer like you, he's still king. When he reigns in the heart, and everywhere he is, he reigns. So my friend, you're a part of the kingdom of God if you receive Christ as your Savior. And you belong to him. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Now, there are a lot of people. Here, just a few years back, there were some Adventists that were telling us Jesus was coming. And they got this whole group, and they sold all their land, sold their churches, bought them white sheets, made them robes, and went up on a hill waiting for him. Well, the day passed, and they recalculated and got a new date. That day passed, they recalculated and got a new date. Finally, they had to go back down and start eating, drinking, going to work again. When they start telling you about when Jesus is coming, look, he's over here. Boy, he's in Jerusalem. Why, well, you need to go to London. Why, if you were in South America, if you were down here, boy, Jesus has appeared over here. No. Look what he says. And when they say, verse 23, I'll go back to verse 22. And said unto the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And boy, isn't that true? Those disciples loved being with Jesus for 3.5 years. They walked with him. They saw his miracles. They heard his teaching. They heard his preaching. They slept with him. They worked with him. They ate with him. And then when he was crucified, they said, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? Well, let's go fishing. And they went fishing. And it was for a few days until he resurrected from the dead. But he said, you would desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. I imagine some of those old boys going through some real tough territory said, I sure wish I had Jesus with me today. Perform a miracle here, perform a miracle there. Go through it. You ever said, I sure wish I had Jesus with me today? Of course you do. If you're born again, you have him with you today. Anyway, look at verse 23. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part unto heaven shineth unto the other part unto heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. When the Lord comes back, nobody's going to have to tell you you got to go to Bernie or San Antonio or Kerrville or Corpus to find Jesus. When the Lord returns in his revelation, the whole world's going to know it. There's not going to be a secret few. Now, when he comes for the rapture, he'll come secretly, catch out his own in the church and take them to be with him. But when he is revealed from heaven, I want you to know everybody's going to know it. Not going to be any problem wondering about, is he there? Is he there? Should I go over there? Somebody said, we got a sighting of the Virgin over here somewhere. Well, you just go make a trip if you want to. Go ahead. go on down there to that some special tree or knot on something or shadow somewhere. Just pray all you want to. I think it's good for you. Just go pray. Hope it does you some good. I'm not going. When the Lord comes back, it's going to be like lightning striking. And that lightning can strike 40 or 50 miles, I guess 100 miles over there, and you can see it way out over here. You'll know it. That's what he's telling them. Verse 25, but first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Who likes to be rejected? Who likes to be rejected? Anybody ever been rejected? You ever been the last one on the ball team picked and they say, well, we don't even want you, you can't even play. And you run home to mama, they didn't want me to play with them. You ever been the one that nobody asked to the prom? Or you're the poor guy that nobody would go with you? You got a good plan, man. Just keep asking those pretty girls so one of them says yes. That's a smart man, I'm telling you. May not be good looking, but he's smart. Jesus was rejected. Jesus was rejected. You don't think you should be rejected? Now, when I first went out and knocked on a door and somebody slammed the door in my face, I was highly offended. But I've seen a lot of doors slammed in my face. You sort of get used to it after a while. I even at times did the old salesman trick, put my foot in the door. I don't do that anymore either. If you don't want it, I'll let you go your way. I'm on a grand search for somebody who wants what I have. Now, I may have to go through a whole bunch of ignorant people and rebellious people to find that one, but I'm on a search. I am a little bit of a fisherman. And just because I cast my line out and nothing bites my bait, that doesn't keep me from fishing. I know some of you, I ain't going fishing, it's no fun, no one catch anything. Well, you never will catch anything because you quit putting your bait in the water, nothing's going to bite. That's where soul winning. You can knock on a door, knock on 100 doors, knock on 1,000 doors, and nobody wants your message. And you think, I must not be in the will of God. How do you know? Maybe the very next door you knock on, somebody will say, praise God, you came my way. You don't know. And since it's the most important thing in the world you can possibly do, you ought to be doing it. Since there's no work in the world to compare to seeing one soul come to Jesus Christ, you ought to be spending some time getting in on a part of that. Amen? He said, first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. He said, a lot of things are going to happen. But I'm sorry, first things, I've got to be rejected, I've got to suffer. He had to go to the cross. Before we're going to get to the glory, Jesus has got to go to the cross. Before he comes back and reigns, before he rules, before he's king of the world, he's got to go to the cross. And he's got to be rejected. Who is he rejected by? All the Jews, that generation. He was rejected by his own apostles. Peter said, I don't even know the guy. Yeah, I know I sound like I'm a Galilean, but then he cussed a little bit, make sure they'd think he really was a worldling. He was rejected by his own people. They all took off and ran. He went to the cross alone. He paid for your sins and my sins alone. Nobody helped him out. And he didn't have to go with a power at his fingertips. The man who could heal 10 lepers and the man who could walk on water, he could have called 72,000 angels with a spoken word. All he had to say was, come. And it wouldn't have taken 72,000 angels taking care of that crowd. I'd read about one angel in the Old Testament. He killed 164,000 mighty soldiers in one night. Says they all woke up dead men. Isn't that interesting? He went to the cross and was rejected and suffered that you might be saved. Thank you. Amen. That worth it? To me it is. Now look at verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Now how was it in the days of Noah? They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Did you know there were people getting married on the day that God shut Noah in? There were wedding invitations and happy rejoicings and big feasting and dancing and partying and all. Aren't we going to have a wonderful life? No, I'm afraid you're not. That old nut you've been listening to for 120 years preaching, his word's going to come true today. They ate, they drank, they built it. What are people going to be doing? Same thing they're doing right now. There are people getting married today. There are people getting buried today. People graduating from school today. People starting school today. People heading out on a new career today. A fellow selling his house and buying a business. Somebody else doing something else. They're doing everything under the sun. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Verse 28. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. When he comes in the rapture, he's not revealed. He comes secret as a thief in the night. The coming of the Lord comes in two stages. He comes in the rapture and takes the church out. The great tribulation falls. At the end of the tribulation, chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, he comes back to the battle of Armageddon, conquers the world. He's revealed. Everybody's going to see him. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. What about old Lot? Lot's one of the most interesting characters in the Bible to me because he is a man of God. A very poor example, but a man of God. God didn't find 10 righteous in Sodom. I really think the only reason why America is still on her feet and blessed, if there's 10 righteous in the land, still putting the gospel out, still sending missionaries out, still preaching the word of God. There's just that few, but there are some. And that may end tomorrow. But God went down there after the prayer of Abraham. And Abraham had started out with 50 and he ended up with 10. And God answered every prayer, yes, that he prayed. If you find but 10, will you spare the city? If I find 10, I'll spare the city. And the angels of God walked through Sodom. And the Sodomites wanted to sodomize them. And Lot protected them, took them into his house. And the next morning, there weren't 10 righteous in the city. In fact, when Lot went to his daughters that were married, they and their husbands thought the old man lost his sense. He's the one that mocked to his son-in-law. He comes back home. I know it's a disappointed man. And he talks to these angels and they said, we got to get you out. Take him, his wife, and his two daughters. And they drag him out of the city. I hope you're not so tied to this world. God's got to drag you out. That's trouble with some of you. You're so tied to this stinking world. God's got to drag you out to do anything for you. That's a shame, but it's true. They weren't going to destroy Sodom until Lot got out. And they pulled him out. You know what people were doing that day? What had plans for weddings? Great plans. Oh, my daughter's marrying the finest young man, I'm telling you. Oh, he's going to make a great son-in-law and take care of me in my old age. Oh, man, my son's marrying the most beautiful girl. Oh, she's so sweet. Going to make the greatest wife. Oh, I can just see how she's going to rub my feet when I'm an old man. Yeah, right. Sorry, the day Lot walks out of Sodom, fire and brimstone comes down and destroys the whole place. You know, all the things you think are so important about life, they're not near as important as you think they are. And all the time you spend on them rather than the will of God, you're making a very great mistake. Now, it's not wrong to have a house. It's not wrong to have a car. It's not wrong to have a job. It's not wrong to have all these plans. God gave you everything in this world to enjoy. It's the kind of God you got. But he meant to put him first. Comes where to go to ball game or go to church, you go to church. You go to ball games when you don't have to go to church. Comes something valuable on television you want to watch. Nothing wrong with watching something you want to watch. But you don't put that above the fellowship of the saints. No. You want to play tennis? Great. Play tennis. Some other time than Sunday morning. Out there by Bernie, they've got 10 beautiful baseball diamonds. I guess it's 10 or 12. Beautiful. I mean, the city has done a beautiful job. Right on 10. Just past 46 on the right. Beautiful. Except one Sunday morning, I was coming by there, and they all had all these teams out there. 7 or 8 teams playing Sunday morning time for Sunday school. Wednesday night, they're out there. Well, what's the kid going to do? What's his parents going to do? Well, if you're going to be on the team, you got to be out there Sunday morning. If you're going to be on the team, you got to be out here Wednesday night. Well, my kids just wouldn't be on the team. You got to make some choices, and you need to put God first. He gave you all these other things to enjoy, and you're still going to have plenty of time to do them. You put God first. You make sure God comes in number one. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed, as the days of Noah and as the days of Lot. You think, it can't be close because everything is just going so well. I've had young people say, oh, please don't let the Lord come now. I haven't got married, haven't had kids, I haven't driven my car yet. It'll be all right. Amen. I want you to understand, if the Lord comes before you get your driver's license, it'll be all right. If the Lord comes before you get married, it'll be all right. You will be happy. I promise you, you will be. Just remember, as the days of Noah were and as the days of Lot were, that's the way it's going to be when the Son of Man comes. People are going to be going through their regular motions of life. Are you saved today? I hope you are. If you're not saved, get saved. Amen. Are you saved today? Then live for God while you got an opportunity. Ain't going to take any faith to live for God in heaven. Going to take faith when you look at this blinding son of a God that comes there in front of you? You're going to have a hard time keeping your feet, buddy. Just his breath going to blow you down. You're going to fall at his feet like John did. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. The awesome God you serve? Wow. Won't be any problem to serve God there. Any more than obeying a 100-foot giant with a great big sword in his hand today. Yeah, I'll obey him. Put God first. Lord bless you.